All right, so the news yesterday comes down that Justice Kennedy is retiring, and then everybody kind of scrambles to, I mean, they kind of knew maybe something like this would happen at some time during President Trump's administration, not just the one from last year, but this one. And then the Democrats sort of come out, and the one comment was, we'll try everything from not letting this happen. I guess it's going to happen, but what will the Democrats do? Are they looking to sort through who his nominee is going to be? How is that going to really turn out for?
Well, I'm hopeful that President Trump will use this as an opportunity to bring people together instead of divide, divide, divide. And that's really what we've seen on so much coming out of the White House, the sort of name-calling by the president and the attacks on the media, the attacks on people in his own party, the attacks sometimes even criticizes his own staff, his own cabinet. I'm hopeful the president will use an opportunity to pick somebody moderate and that we can get 70 or 80 votes on. My concern is just yesterday the court handed down a decision that was an attack on workers. It took away workers' rights to speak with a unified voice. It took away workers' rights to go to management for better wages. And as you know, we've seen in places like Lorain County that we've seen corporate profits go up. We've seen executive compensation go up, but we've seen workers have stagnant wages, not get a raise much for the last few years. And the Supreme Court's a big reason for that because of the decisions they made. I'm hopeful that the new justice, whoever it turns out to be, will speak in support of workers' rights instead of continuing to undermine them as this corporate Supreme Court has done.
You mentioned that decision. We've had another one or two recently, too, 5-4 decisions. And we're hearing more and more now that from commentators, for example, people on social media, that it seems to reflect the justices' political ideology, left or right, and not necessarily the rule of law. What do you think?
Well, it hadn't been left or right. It's been right. I mean, it was a decision after decision. All these important decisions have been 5-4. You know, when I was growing up, the court always jammed through by this chief justice in the far right of this court. And when I was growing up, I'm not a lawyer, as I think you know, but when I was growing up, I noticed the Supreme Court would hand down decisions 7-2 or 8-1 or 9-0. They would try to reach consensus. And when the Supreme Court has so much power to hand down a decision 5-4, especially in light of the fact that Mitch McConnell did something nobody had ever done in American history, he simply refused to even entertain the thought of a vote on a Supreme Court nominee from President Obama for a whole year. So it's just not the way the judiciary should operate, that everything is just by one vote in a very partisan way.
You've been speaking relating to issues for jobs leaving. We hear that when Harley Davidson is looking to do that, now General Motors, and you had some things to speak about that on the floor the other night.
Yeah, well, both General Motors and Harley Davidson had one thing in common. They both got tens of billions of dollars in tax breaks and the promise from the president and the congressional leadership that all these tax savings, big tax breaks they got would mean higher wages and more job growth and more hiring and more investment in these companies. Instead, it's meant stock buybacks. The top five executives at General Motors already were making $100 million a year, the top five. They will be making more now because they got this tax cut. They did stock buybacks, and they're pocketing a lot of this. At the same time, they laid off 1,500 workers this week in Lordstown, Ohio, and at the same time, they announced they're building a plant in Mexico, a new plant to build the Chevy Blazer. So these companies, they're betraying the national interest when they take their tax cut money and take it themselves and invest abroad instead of in American workers.
The farm bill is on the floor of the Senate this week. What do you expect to happen there?
Well, I'm thrilled with the farm bill. In the Senate, we passed, I'm on the ag committees, I think you know, and I first Ohio senator in half a century to serve on that committee because I know how important it is, particularly to southern Lorain County, but all over our state. We passed it 20-1 out of the committee. We will pass it in a big way on the floor. It's good for conservation. It's good for family farms. It's good for dairy especially. It will help with local foods, farm to market, all kinds of things like that. And in the House of Representatives, unfortunately, the Speaker of the House made it a partisan bill and jammed it through Congress by 2 votes. So I'm hopeful they will follow the bipartisan pattern that Senator Portman and I and others did in the Senate. When we got it out of committee 20-1 and move forward and get 80, 75, 80, 90 votes on the Senate floor.
It appears the Ohio Western Reserve National Cemetery might be in line for a big expansion and upgrade. Tell us about that.
Oh yeah, we one of my proudest moments when I represented Lorain County in Congress was following on Congressman Pease's efforts. We got the Western Reserve National Cemetery located in our congressional district and in our part of the state. It's a big, big deal. We're getting more help for it. We got a major investment of almost $30 million to expand it. Unfortunately, our military cemeteries have needed to be expanded because of the Iraq War and other things, and obviously more deaths from World War II and Korea and Vietnam. So, but it's a absolute gem in Northeast Ohio, so that was good news.
Anything your Intelligence Committee could tell us about Corey Kluber? Any idea?
Everybody has a bad game, man. Well, he's had two bad games in the last five, but he's still pretty unhittable. So I can't imagine anything's worse. Did the plain dealer or the paper saying anything's wrong with him?
No, they just. But that's always the sports reporter's question.
Yeah. Well, the problem with Kluber is if he walks more than one guy in a game, or gives up more than five hits, we think he's got arm trouble. I mean, the guy is like the best pitcher since Bob Feller. For gosh sakes.
Well, at least now we have a Bieber as a backup.
No kidding. Bieber, Plutko, these guys I'd never heard of 3 months ago.
Well, it's good to know that we have extra arms on our staff. Well, Sherrod, we will talk with you again soon.
Thanks
for your time.
We'll do it again. Bye-bye. Thanks.